We're back with Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn. You can hear this conversation on our website anytime at WKMS.org. We'd spoke with the Executive Director of Enrollment, Fred Dietz, here at Murray State just last week about the incoming freshman class. But I wanted to ask you, is it too soon for us to say that this is going to be MSU's largest incoming freshman class?
It may be a little too soon yet, Chad, but I think everyone's kind of excited and has some anticipation that we will ultimately be able to say that. You mentioned Fred Dietz, our Executive Director for Enrollment Services. He won't be happy if I talk in terms of real specific numbers, but I think we are on course to look at a very large freshman class, potentially the largest ever. That will drive enrollment to the largest in the history of the university. But I may at this point kind of be a bit coy and not say much more about that. As you're aware, we don't have to lock in official enrollment until late October, I think about October 25th. So we'll continue to do work. We had about 90 students who we're still working with to finalize some payment plans and things of that nature who we had to deal with because of non-payments. So we want to work with them, try to get them in the system. We'll have some students who join for second half of the semester courses. We'll pick up some dual enrollment students that we don't have in the system yet. So without getting too giddy, I am very excited about what we're going to post as final enrollment numbers as we get into the middle of fall. Everything looks very good at this point to have a record-breaking enrollment for Murray State.
I guess you could say it's also a record-breaking enrollment for our doctoral program because it's the first.
We've set a record this year. Yeah, actually, I had the opportunity with the opening of school to attend the convocation for the School of Nursing that they hold every fall. And it was really exciting because a number of those doctoral cohort students were in attendance at the convocation. It was really neat to welcome them and take this milestone that was, you know, underway with the enrollment of the doctoral cohort in nursing. They're going to be in good shape. I think that cohort, don't hold me to it, but the cohort was looking somewhere in the vicinity of 18 individuals, which is a nice start. That will grow in coming years. It certainly supports the revenue model we were looking for in starting that degree program. They want to build that as succeeding classes come in, of course. So I think we've had a wonderful start to that program, and it's going to obviously lead the way as we look at one or two additional doctorates over the next 1, 2, 3 years. I think within our academic programming, we could support one or two more appropriate to the mission of the university. So you'll keep hearing us talk about that as we go into the future.
Also, it's been long in the works to declare the capital campaign Hold Thy Banner High at a stretched goal of $70 million.
Yes.
And we look forward to hearing more about it in October. But where do we stand now in Murray State's capital campaign?
We are going to celebrate the close of Hold Thy Banner High, our comprehensive fundraising campaign, during homecoming in October. The actual campaign books themselves will not close until December 31. You recall, Chad, we had an initial goal of $60 million. We blew past that goal a year ago. We set a stretch goal of $70 million. Right now, we're sitting at about $68, $69, somewhere in that vicinity toward the $70 million with more money coming in. And we're actually looking at a couple of solicitations for potential six-figure gifts even yet in the next few weeks. So if we're not right at the $70 million, we're going to be very, very close. You'll remember that half of this money is to support endowed scholarships, to support our students. Even if we're a few thousand shy of the $70 million, this thing has been a success beyond everyone's imagination. You're aware of the fact that a few weeks ago, U.S. News came out with their short list where Murray State was listed number one in the nation for the percentage of undergraduates who receive some sort of merit aid, non-need based aid, tops in the country. that is directly attributable to the fact that we've had such success in doubling the amount of scholarship dollars, the number of scholarships themselves. And when you look at the impact of something as large and complex as a campaign in changing individual students' lives that way, this has been a home run. And we're going to have a great celebration during homecoming to close it out and work it all the way up to December 31 to get as close to our 70 million as we can.
And before you have that get-together and that party in October, you've got another celebration upcoming, the 90th anniversary
right.
for Murray State University,
right.
September 6th when the events will take place.
Yes, of a more immediate notice. We're going to have a small celebration. It's probably not going to be a big blowout, but this is a significant milestone in the life of this institution. So we're going to come together for a couple of hours, have a short program of maybe an hour or so with a few speakers talking about our legacy buildings. Rainey T. Wells himself will be making an appearance to talk about Murray State College, University. So that's going to be a treat. Mm-hmm. And then we'll adjourn from there to share some refreshments and fellowship in Pogue Hall, one of our legacy buildings. So again, it's fairly low key. Now for the 100th, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. we'll have another big party. But for the 90th, it will be a somewhat low key celebration. But we sure hope that people who are listening and in the vicinity that evening can maybe come over and spend some time and listen to what I think is going to be a really neat little program.
We had talked a few months back about the possibility of maybe saving Ordway Hall because of a grant that you found. I'd like to know more about that, and then how site preparation work is going on in Paducah.
Well, those are two projects that are sitting out there. We have others that I'm glad to mention, but Ordway Hall is slated for demolition. We haven't set a date because we're still working to find suitable and acceptable space for those remaining units that were housed in Ordway. And once that happens, Ordway can move forward for raising. What we had said when the board gave that authority back some number of months ago was that we wanted to hold off for about 6 months, and they'd set the date of June 1, 2012, before moving forward with the raising to take one last pass to secure any donors who might be interested in providing funds for a complete renovation, which was going to run about $10 million, and to see if we could find any grants to save the building. We had no donors come forward. Nothing came from that in an amount that was going to be even in the ballpark to do the renovation for Ordway. We did make a run at one historic preservation grant we found out of a California foundation, went through a very thorough application process with that, and ultimately they chose not to fund us. And that was really the only avenue we had for foundation support. So with that, really the last avenues were kind of closed, and at what point we can figure out office space for student affairs and get that last number of people relocated, then we'll start drawing up the plans, soliciting bids, and moving forward with Ordway's raising. There will be, of course, some sort of memorial program. A building memorial will be constructed at the site that's appropriate given its important role on the campus. Probably some type of memento program for people who want to be involved in that. As far as Paducah, we're making good progress there. Actually, we have site work that's underway, dirt being moved. The bids for that actually came in, I'm going to say, about $150,000 or so better than what we anticipated. I think we were budgeting somewhere in the $700,000 range for site preparation, earthwork, and things of that nature. And actually, the bids came in lower, and that work's underway. So now we're moving, of course, into the next phase of work there with final design, getting all that approved as we look then to start construction. Everything at this point still looks good for probably a mid-fall opening about a year from now, so that potentially we could be in the building and using it by the spring semester of 2014. I will mention one other, though, facility project if I could. We actually have a number of things going on. good progress continues to be made on the basketball practice facility that we've attached to the north side of the CFSB Center. And it's just going to provide a great opportunity for practice space, men's and women's basketball offices, as well as a Hall of Champion for athletics. And then we're completing and dedicating at homecoming some shell space, a large amount of shell space in what was the previously named Regional Business and Innovation Center next to the CFSB Center on Kentucky 121 north of the campus. We're completing all of that shell space. That building has been renamed by the board Heritage Hall. And in addition to the business incubator offices that are housed there, we'll also house very soon the Office of Regional Outreach, as well as the Office of Development for the university. And located within that is going to be a Hall of Benefactors that is just going to be beautiful space for the entire university community. So even though we've really had no state support or money to carry on with large-scale projects through, again, I think a variety of creative approaches, donors, the cooperative agreement with the governments in Paducah, we are able to move forward on getting a number of construction projects going even without the state support.
Well, Dr. Dunn, thanks very much for your time.
It's been fun, Chad.